منهاجنا تقوى ما خاب من يبغي دوم الرضا مولا ما خاب من يبغي دوم الرضا مولا دوم الرضا مولا دوم الرضا مولا دوم الرضا مولا.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program. It is the spiritual breakfast. Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who is the effector, the one who effects the hearts to go into a different direction, to cause that change. That is why from one to the next, from one condition to the next, from one place to the next, from one to the next. One of our seniors, in fact, I just heard this, that when they are busy with different work, and you know, the work with, when it comes to deen, it's not I'm doing it for this organization or I'm doing it because of Markaz Sahaba, and it is, this is a platform. When you're doing the work of deen, then it is for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it goes beyond your working hours as well, because then you have to see, are you really doing it for deen, or is it just restricted to business, or is it restricted to the money that you are earning through that? So when it comes to our deen, it goes far beyond at what is the demand of the time, you have to see. And if you see in today's world, in today's era, the kind of fitan that is unleashed upon us, especially here in South Africa, and you will see in Cape Town over the next few days, in fact tomorrow and the 29th, it is, they are going to have, and who is it, Uksa is celebrating their 31st birthday, if you want to call it, 31st annual meeting, if you want to call it 31st, whatever, they're going to have it. But in that, they've incorporated it, and you've heard the MJC president, Riyad Fattar, who prayed just not so long ago with Warren Goldstein in the interfaith meeting, and he couldn't even take the name of Allah in that particular meeting. Nonetheless, there's a lot of double standards in this whole thing that is out there. But you, O Muslimin, you, O believers, you need to be warned of these kuffar and their plans, their plots on the global scale. And then you come down to so-called Islamic organizations such as UKSA, and you've heard various, on various occasions, that they came on Mulana A.K. Ali. He has said that UKSA is an umbrella organization for many organizations in South Africa. So the plan and the ploy is this year to take you from your Islam and demolish you from within. This is the plan and this is the ploy. O Muslimin, you better be aware. O Muslimin, you better be awake. O Muslimin, this is what I want to tell you, is that you better be totally alert of this fitan that is going to be taking place. And it's launched in where? In Cape Town. They're planning to have this. And over 28th, 29th, it is going to be the GISC. The GISC. What is GISC? Global Imams and Scholars Charter Council, whatever they want to call it, you know. They had their first in meeting. In meeting, what's the meaning of in meeting now? In meeting, and I was pondering over this, you know, when we did human resources, then there is a particular subjects which you get, and you get kind of different names, ergonomics. Many of you never heard of ergonomics. Ergonomics is not economics, it's ergonomics. And this year is all about transforming the workplace to make it and so beneficial. And this will then enable the employee to become more productive in his work. For example, I'm sitting here on this chair, this table, this mic, everything placed. I mustn't be slouching. I must not be bending my back. Everything must be in accordance to health levels. And you will see better productivity for this year. If my postures are not correct, this is going to affect the surroundings of the workplace, and it's going to affect my product as an employee as well. So you want to see that everything is in this. That is why human resources, it's got a lot of benefits to it. And that is why I saw that, you know, you're going into accounting, this, that, the other. You're just following the next person and following what everyone else is. So I said, okay, BCom's there, but BCom's got other fields as well, which you can then specialize in. You can say human resources or something. So I found this exciting. It's dealing with people. It's dealing with a whole different ball game and all of this here. So I found this interesting. When I was reading through it, you get the different types of offices. And this was 2011, 2012, around there. We were doing this subject called ergonomics. And in there, I saw virtual office. This was pre-COVID, way before COVID. And you're wondering now, but what is when will this ever take place? A virtual office? Because you understand, everyone's going in the corporate world. You have your office back then. Then they decided open plan. All of this year was the case there. Open plan. Open plan means you don't have your privacy. Anyone can just walk in, and it comes with the disadvantages as well, because more interaction. And let's face it, if I've got someone in front of me, I'm not going to be that productive as when I'm alone. When I'm alone, I can be a little bit more productive. It just depends on what the project is or what the task is or what the demand of that particular time is. But when I saw virtual office, I said, when will this take place now? And then COVID came about, and then you just saw everyone going into their virtual offices, to the point that now you speak to most employees, they say that our companies want us to come back, and we've just become so spoiled in this particular home, in this particular setup. And there is also with that, I will say, it does come with difficulties as well, because you're working at home. There's more challenges at home. There's more knocks on the door from your children, more demands. Your wife thinks, okay, you're at home. Just go buy this. Just go buy this. Just go do this quickly because you are at home. Now, when you've got your set working hours, you've got your set times, you are going, you're coming back. It's for men as well. It is very healthy for a man to go out and earn his sustenance. But of course, if you've got the setup, you've got the understanding, then at this particular time of so much fitter, then to be in your home is better. You cannot say, I'm not going to earn and I'm just going to be sitting at home. That's a different story. But virtual office, where you are corresponding with your organization, with your managers, you're handling everything from your home. You could never imagine it. I think Mirka Sahaba, I just joined after that, but they also were operating during that period. I've seen the manager, he purchased mics, and there is one here in the cupboard as well. That was for that particular period when everyone had to do their programs from home because they couldn't come out of your house. You remember those periods, right? The masajid closed and all of these things. Virtual office played a big role then, and you saw it. But if you look at this whole Trump going to the Knesset, Trump going for the peace ceasefire, and that was in Egypt, Sharm el-Sheikh just recently, and there was more of an advertising for that particular resort. If you saw the travelers now and tourists going into Sharm el-Sheikh, it's just been boosted since that particular event. And you can just see people are now turning their attention towards it. So it had its public agenda as well, publicity stunt, which they call, and PI, PA, all of this year, you know all the terms better than me. Now, let's go to this year and focus. Trump had to go in for that meeting because why? Why did you see Vance? He had to also go in. Why are they flying down, up and down? Can't they just also do their virtual office and communicate, correspond over air, over your laptops, over this, over that? Why do you have to go in person? In person makes a big difference. That's why. You can't match it. You've tried it. We've seen it. It makes a big difference. The ideas are set on that person. That's why. It sort of is like descending. And you know, Shaitan, he descends upon all these liars and all of them. Trump is one of the biggest liars you can get. He goes in so that everyone is sitting in
on the same page. In the Knesset, I told you, there is your Darun Nadwa. Of that time, you had Abu Jahl, all of them entering that particular sort of setting with Shaitan, and this was a similar sort of setting. Now, you've understood that, right? But today, I explained to you just recently as well, the billboard, my daughter said Sharia compliant. Small, she's asking me, Sharia compliant, about what's this all about? Is it Sharia compliant or what? I said to her, see, Sharia compliant, whatever you see on your billboards, all of that, if you see tomorrow alcohol with a halal sign, you must not look at it. Don't even look at these billboards because you're going to lose and you're going to become very confused. But if you do, you have to know and understand, and we have to also alert our children. Like how when they were younger, you know, I'm speaking to those who are elderly now, you know, when they were younger, you made sure, oh my child, do not take a sweet from anybody. If you take a sweet from anybody, you come to me first, because they're putting it in poison and they're wrapping those wrappers and filling the layers all with this and that and the other. So you make sure you bring those sweets to me first, and I want to know who it comes from. So you made this a rule. Today I will say to you, I will say to the children, I will say to the adults, I will say to the youth, all of yous, you need to be very, very alert and aware, because using Islamic names to do what they want to do to get their work done, under peace names, under peace circles, the board of peace, Abrahamic Accord, because everything just seems to be blending so well when everyone seems to be promoting a peace treaty or a peace slogan. But in that peace slogan, it is totally filled and layered with so many evils. And this is where you can begin to understand Shaitan's plot is not just to work on the surface, but Shaitan's plot is to present to you things that resonates, and slowly, slowly, he drifts you away. You know the whole incident with the photography. Yesterday, I was also sharing with my children, and I was saying, do you know this? The whole incident, some of them, one of them said yes, because they read the Qasasun Nabiyyin. Abu al-Hasan Nadwi, he's written, Rahmatullah alayhi, he's written Qasasun Nabiyyin, and gone into the details of it. And I asked, you know about this year? She said, yes. And this whole incident of the photography and all of the rest, how it came into existence. Digital, it wasn't digital back then, but the way Shaitan works, as I was saying it, then I'm like, but this is Shaitan. Because the others, they didn't know. So I said, let me explain it to you. You see, in the time of Nuh alayhi salam, such great prophets came, and then pious people, they said, okay, let's see here. We had pious people. We're not going to do idol worshipping. That is out of the question. That is way far out. We're not going to do idol worshipping. So what we're going to do is, we just want to remember those pious people. It's like sort of you saying, you know, many years later, I want to remember this mufti, and here's his picture. You get these people, you get them. If you go under certain websites, the Tablighi Jamaat website, I don't know if it's the official website, whatever it is, but if you go under one of their websites, you will see, and before they had pictures of all the awliyaullah, Mulana Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayhi, and few others. But what's the need for this? No, we just want to remember them. We're not going to worship them. We just want to remember them. Well, that's the exact same thing. That is why, if you've seen and if you've read Hazrat Mulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Alayhi's stance, and he used to write beautifully as well. In one of his writings, shared it on different platforms, on even the websites, and that he said there that photography leads to shirk. Photography leads to shirk. And he gives this whole understanding of what I'm saying to you now. It's just, they said, we just want to remember our pious people. We're not going to worship. But look, check how they were. They were so like, look at their turbans, look at their bodies, look at their, okay, bodies, you're not going to really see much. But it's a kurta, and you're going to see the face, you're going to see glasses, or you wore glasses, or you saw. But nonetheless, you got the idea. And what happens there? Then now, you know what? Let's stick it up on the wall. Let's stick it up on the wall. We're not going to worship just for barakat, barakat, barakah, blessings. We're going to gain blessings from this year. So let's put it on the wall. Let's then bend. Then from there it went. Then they said, we're just going to face them. We're just going to do this. And it went until it became a statue. Now let's make a statue of them. Let's make a statue of them. These people were pious and they decided this year. You know that the trend is this exactly. That you will rather go and sit in a Qabristan and make sujood there than make sujood to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the problem. In many instances you find. Sheikh Nizamuddin Rahmatullah Alayhi, I shared with you when we were there, it was Nizamuddin Merkaz. That time there was no split and all the rest. So me and my friend, we said, let's just go check opposite what's happening there. And when we went opposite, then we saw the reality of what they are doing. And going in sujood, changing all of this sheets over Sheikh Nizamuddin. You just see a big cover there. They've changed the flowers every now and again, perfuming the place, all of these kind of things. And then they want to sell you the sheet afterwards and they say, you know, this sheet, how much it cost? Because it was on the qabr of Sheikh Nizamuddin, rahmatullahi alayhi. And then other occasions, what happens is they say that you'll get a lot of barakah and blessings and you won't have to work thereafter. And they use all these particular slogans. You just ask them one question. If it was true, why are you sitting on the side of the streets and selling this? Yeah. One question breaks the whole argument into pieces. So anyway, this is the ploy of shaitan, which we have to be really alert and aware. You know, today is Blue Monday for the non-Muslimin because they were so heavily in the partying and the rest. Those who were cycling 94.7 and the rest, your body is undergoing so much of pain and you're still in recovery mode. And the others going through this, going through that. But you as a Muslim, اتقوا فراسة المؤمن فإنه ينظر بنور الله. Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and he said this, and this here is actually the narration of Tirmidhi, beware of the vision of the believer because he sees with the light of Allah Azza wa Jal. When you were going for Fajr Salah this morning, you know, you read the dua, Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi noora, wa fi basari noora, wa fi sam'i noora, wa ayyami yasari noora, wa fawqi noora, wa tahti noora, wa amami noora, wa khalfi noora, wa addimli noora. Beautiful dua. If you don't know it, say the English and make efforts, put efforts in place to start learning the Arabic. You, a woman folk, you go into your place where you're going to perform your Fajr Salah. Next, you're going to go for your Dhuhr Salah. There is your masjid. There is your place where you're going to pray in your house, in the most corner place of your house. You read Salah there in your home. So when you're going to read your Fajr Salah every morning, then read this dua. Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi noora. O Allah, place noor in my heart. Place noor in my vision. Place noor in my hearing. Place noor on the right of me, on the left of me, on top of me, beneath me, in front of me, at the back of me. And intensify me in this realm of noor. Let this noor, let me be filled with noor. And you then see with the vision of Allah, you see with the noor of Allah, اتقوا فراسة المؤمن فإنه ينظر بنور الله. Now when you sing with the vision of Allah, O you believers, then can you see then all these things that is placed and it's laced with all of this filth. But you need the noor of Allah Azza wa Jal to see into all of this. May Allah give us the true noor. May He complete our noor for us. These are du'as we must make and we must remember. In this year, you find all of this fitan that is taking place. Under the name of Islam, and this is not something that is strange. You know the narration better than me by now, I think. And you know the plan, the ploy. Take the principle out of it. Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that from my ummah. So if you go to hadith is in Bukhari, hadith 5990. Ulama, you should look at it. Hadith 5990. And in Bukhari, go and see Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned about people from his ummah and what they will do. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, from my ummah, they will be people who will consider illegal sexual intercourse, right? The wearing of silk, as well the drinking of alcohol. All of this here, it will be considered, and the use of musical instruments is also mentioned in there. They will consider it to be lawful. The Arabic, لَيَكُونَنَّ مِنْ أُمَّتِي أَقْوَامٌ يَسْتَحِلُّونَ الْحِرَى وَالْحَرِيرِ وَالْخَمْرَ وَالْمَعَازِفِ. These people, they will consider, they will legalize, basically, halalize, what we say, illegal sexual intercourse, the wearing of silk, the drinking of alcohol drinks, as well as the usage of musical instruments, and they will consider this to be lawful. يَسْتَحِلُّونَ, they make it, they halalize it. This is where the term halalize comes in. يَسْتَحِلُّونَ الْحِرَى وَالْحَرِيرُ وَالْخَمْرَ وَالْمَعَازِفِ. So you look at the current Uqsa and Riyad Fattar, what did he say? He came out and the whole thing is filled with, laced once again with music. So you have to then, what must you do? It's laced with music. And now you have to listen to him. You don't have to listen to him. We will tell you what he says. He is stressing exactly this year, that this 31st celebration of theirs is very special. In other words, it's very special, because on top of all that they want to do, they're going to have this GISC in-person meeting. I was telling you, we are actually speaking about that. 2023 was when they had the first in-person meeting. But this plan and this organization is, now you see, you get Uqsa, and you get Jamiatul Ulama, KZN is also part of Uqsa, you get Jamiatul Ulama, South Africa, which we know is JUSA, you get the MJC, all these organizations are all under this Uqsa. Then you get, so see, from the top, so they're bringing you to the top of this fitna. Then from there, globally, you must have your own mindset. You must have their plans. Now, I ask you a question, and this is what we're going to present to you, inshallah. Let's see. They have an organization that's part of this GISC. Let's first ask you this question. Who is part of this GISC? These are questions we need to ask. Who are the main players of this year? I'm going to play it for you. So when they had this retreat, October 2023, so now it's October 2025, it's going to be in Cape Town. But when they had this Global Imams and Scholars Council retreat, October 2023, you will hear many of them saying here that this year was actually their first in-person meeting. The plots sound very beautiful, as you know, we want to put everyone on the same page, on the same mindset, have the same vision. But then when you hear it and you see, you scratch deeper, 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 you find that there is more to this year. It's actually a balloon and you just have to prick it and it's going to burst. So inshallah, Allah will burst their plans and burst their bubbles because of what they plan and what they are plotting. Let's listen. Firstly, October 2023, Global Imams and Scholars Council retreat. Who was part and who was the main key players? Because this is who we want to identify with. So you'll notice the first name there is who they call Sheikh Abdullah Hassan. Sheikh Abdullah Hassan, we'll play it for you later as well. He was interviewed on Radio Islam. And he comes in, I'll show you certain places there where he actually says that even those who do not follow a madhab, they must be part under this umbrella organization called the GISC. GISC, Global Imam Scholar Charter Council, and they're going to have a meeting here in South Africa, and that will be in Cape Town. in South Africa, meaning their first meeting will be in Cape Town. And it will be together. It just now fits in so well with UKSA's 31st celebration birthday party. So all of this, wining, dining, you saw, and we're going to speak about this in detail, inshallah, that you know very well, Mulana A.K. Ali. He was there at the summit just recently in August, and it was also in Cape Town. And they had a rabbi there. We're going to discuss all of this, put it all together. You've heard it before, probably, perhaps. But we're going to put it all together because you, O Ummah, you are very special. And you are from the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we don't want any money or collections you can put in, fill in your bank, you fill up our bank accounts. No, we just want you to be protected from this particular fitna. And we have to come across as with much urgency as possible, with much urgency as possible, because they are coming out and they are ruining our deen from within. What were you doing praying with an Israeli rabbi? That's a question we have to ask UKSA. That's a question we have to ask Riyad Fattar. That's the question we have to ask Ibrahim Bam. That's the question we have to ask all of these. What were you doing praying with these rabbis? This is not what Anbiya alayhi salam taught us. This is not what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us. This is not what the fuqaha have taught us. This is not what the muhaddithin have taught us. This is not what the awliyaullah have taught us. Why in this century do you come and you advocate and you promote that we must go out and interact to such level, all under this banner and this term which they love to use, which is called minority? Minority is the word that they will slam upon you, and they will kill and pinch your inferiority complex to such an extent that you will now not feel that pinch anymore, and you feel we. And what does this drive in? This drives in, we can't do much. We don't have capability, capacity. This whole plan is together part and parcel of Trump's 20-point Gaza plan. If I'm looking at it in front of me now, if you want it, we send it to you straight away. 084-786-3132. The time now is 42 minutes past 7. 18 minutes to 8, Central African time, right? So it's AM, morning time. You send me a message now, I will send it to you. You send a message later, if you hear the podcast of this, inshallah, we'll podcast this here. If you're listening to it later, then understand, well, I won't be able to send it to you because we delete all our messages as soon as the next program starts. You send it to me anytime between now and 7 and 9, we'll send you Trump's 20-point Gaza plan. Alternatively, just join the Spiritual Breakfast group, and the channel is there, you can find it. And on there, we send all of this information as well, which we will be, inshallah, Allah give us that particular tawfiq to expose this major, big, huge agenda, demolishing Islam from within. So if you look at, I'm looking at it, Trump's 20-point Gaza plan, it was on Al Jazeera, his 20 points, the summary of it is there. And if you look at it, I'm looking currently at point number 18, because this was what was most disturbing to me. Interfaith dialogue launched to promote values of tolerance and peaceful coexistence. Interfaith dialogue launched to promote values of tolerance and peaceful coexistence. Any person who believes that Trump is a well-wisher for Islam, who believes that Trump wants to bring about this peace in South Africa, in different places of the world, bring Islam together, they are living in a total delusion, and they should be very, very, very aware and alert, and rather they should rather be investigating their own iman. You've noticed, you've seen it, the 18th point, and there is Trump's 20th point Gaza plan, interfaith is there. All these scholars, they went and they changed our mindsets, the mindsets of our children, and now tuned it into this particular interfaith agenda. You know, and we've seen it, the Aqidah book, and it comes under the Tashil series. And if you go to, it is one of the grades, grade 8, if I'm not mistaken, grade 8, we've got all the proof there. And we'll access it and send it out as well. We've sent it out many times. You've seen the old syllabus. We've captured that. Alhamdulillah, screenshotted it. The old syllabus did not have nothing about interfaith under the interpretation of Suratul Kafirun. And then in the new syllabus, all of a sudden, it comes under Jusa. You know, it has a big influence from Mulana Bam and the rest. So that all comes in there. Now you find these words of interfaith there. Interfaith, peaceful existence, peaceful existence. Peaceful existence, we've got to ask many questions. What do you mean, peaceful existence? I have to go pray in a church. I have to go pray in the synagogue. I have to go do this. They will be allowed in our premises. You've seen Keir Starmer, going to the masjid just over this weekend in Britain. Britain is sending their troops to Gaza. Keir Starmer is sitting in the masjid with women and the rest trying to solve. What do you think? Do you think we are stupid? These are major questions we have to raise with these people. Mulana A.K. Ali, why were you praying at that particular summit in August? We've got all the evidence there. You've prayed there. There were rabbis there, rabbis also from Israel that were there. What were you doing with these people? Is this what you mean by peaceful coexistence? Do you even know what you are doing by promoting all of this here? These are major, major questions that we've got to ask. For now, let's find out GISC. Who is part of the GISC this year? We need to know. We need to find out. Sheikh Abdullah Hassan, right? I told you he was interviewed on Radio Islam. That we'll deal with in a little bit. But let's first look at this year. Sheikh Abdullah Hassan, it is on their Jewish newspapers. He went to a synagogue. So let's use this time efficiently, effectively, to protect my iman. Let's recite together, because we need to every now and again renew our intention. This must not be done for any agenda or because we just want to come out lashing, because we want status. No, I want to protect my iman. I want your children to protect their iman. I want you to protect your iman. I want the South African Muslims to be protected and not fall into this Samiri plot and plan, where it looks very good, it looks beautiful, but it's to kill your iman eventually. So we need to be very circumspect about this. Let's hear exactly 2023 retreat. Who is part of this organization?
The vision of the Global Imam Scholars Council is to empower the imams and scholars.
So this year is the British Board of Scholars and Imams, Sheikh, and he is Sheikh Abdullah Hassan. He is one of the main players in this whole thing, which you'll hear Radio Islam. When they interviewed him, he said, and he was introduced, in fact, as this year. So this, he is very, very dangerous. You've got to be very extremely aware of this person here. His name is Sheikh Abdullah Hassan, the British Board of Scholars and Imams. Let's pause here for a second, shall we? Let's pause. Right. You know, if we see, go back to Queen Elizabeth when she died. Which year did she die? She died on the 8th of September 2022. 8th of September 2022. Right. The Quran Sharif speaks about when people like her and the rest of the non-Muslimin, when they die, what exactly happens to them. If you turn to Suratul Anfal and just go to verse 50. Suratul Anfal, if you are with me, let's go to verse 50. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim.
Wa law tara idh yatawaffa alladhina kafaru al-mala'ikatu yadhribuna wujuhahum wa adbarahum.
Allah says, and if you were to see, you were to see, means the kuffar, Queen Elizabeth, the likes of her and the rest. When the angels take out the souls of those who disbelieve, and if you were to see, when the angels take out the souls of those who disbelieve, beating their faces and their backs and saying, taste the punishment of the flaming fire. The angels of death slapped her to death on the 8th of September 2022. Right. Now you know angels, they come. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran Sharif. And this verse here is in Surah Ra'd, verse number 11. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. So if you go to Surah Ra'd, that is chapter number 13, and you look at verse number 11, Allah Azza wa Jal says this. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. For him, there are angels replacing each other before him, behind him, who guard him under the command of Allah. Allah sent angels to protect you, to be for you, for your service. But when you change, then Allah changes your conditions as well. Those angels now do not have that ability to help you anymore, to assist you, to rescue anymore. So let's see. Spiders awaited this wretched soul, Queen Elizabeth. Who carried it? The Washington Post, and you can find it there. Spiders, almost 2,000 guests attended the state funeral of Queen Elizabeth II. But just one of them had 8 legs. This was what the Washington Post had revealed. So these are all non-Muslim news outlets. But Sheikh Abdullah, which we've played, you've heard the introduction. Sheikh Abdullah Hassan, he's participated in the 2023 event and the GISC first in meeting with all the members and the leaders there. Mulana Bam was part of them. Uksas, Mulana AK Ali was part of them. There were other individuals also with them. They were all there. And if you saw this man here, Sheikh Abdullah Hassan, part and parcel of the British Board of Scholars and Imams and one of the main players in this GISC. What did the British Board of Scholars and Imams, the organization he belongs to? They released a statement, and if you can go on their website, you'll find it there as well. Where? If you just go to Queen Elizabeth II, bbsi.org.uk, /HM Queen Elizabeth. You'll find it all there. What do they say? They got a big picture of her there, and they say HM Queen Elizabeth II, 1926 to 2022. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said, "La yufliha qawmun wallaw amrahum imra'atan." Never ever will a nation succeed. لَيْ يُفْلِحَ قَوْمٌ وَلَّوْ أَمْرَهُمُمْ رَأَةً. Never ever will a nation succeed who makes a woman their ruler. Go see Sahih al-Bukhari. Narration is there, 7099. However, they came out and they said that it's a great loss. Here's their statement. To God we all belong, and to God we shall all return. You see the effects. You can't say Allah. You have to say to God. This country, meaning Britain, has had 15 prime ministers and one head of state in the previous 70 years. Her Majesty the Queen has been a continuous presence in people's lives, most silent, dignified, and above politics. She has served an example of long-held but often forgotten human characteristics such as responsibility, honor, restraint, dignity, and nobility. Though born into the highest office, and into such a society, she has exemplified the virtue of servant leadership by being in the service of people for approximately 70 years. By virtue of the long life and good health God had afforded her, she has embodied another oft missed human need, the need for consistency, or the need for constancy rather, as she returns to her Lord, the Lord of the worlds, before whom every human title, honor, and rank fall away, leaving only the soul in its simplicity and the rest. Then at the end they say, we offer our deepest condolences to her family and the whole country, bereft of a figure surpassing dignity and leadership. And then the British Board of Scholars and Imams, BBSI. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear in the Quran Sharif, Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 84. Do not pray over any of them who has died. Do not even stand at his grave. They disbelieved in Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they died while they were defiantly disobedient. You went to go pray with them. You went to praise them. Now, BBSI, British Board of Imams and Scholars, they released that, what do you want to call it, crocodile tears statement, a statement filled with bootlicking. What happened thereafter? Thereafter, the London Central Mosque Trust and the Islamic Cultural Center, they said they're going to a special gathering of the Muslim community to honor the life of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. And that was going to take place. That took place Thursday, 15th September 2022. The time I can also tell you, 10 a.m. to 11:30. That's when it took place. Qari Asim, MBE, breaking news. We've got that statement as well. We are pleased to announce that the funeral prayers of Queen Elizabeth will be performed by the Muslim community of Leeds in honor of Her Majesty at Leeds Mosque, Thornville Road. Imam Qari Asim. What did Allah say? Do not ever pray upon them. Do not even stand at his grave. Now, these people went out and started having what we call janaza salah for the queen. So you disrespected Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You disrespected Allah azza wa jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you disrespect Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you violate his order, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Those who violate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's order must beware lest they are visited by a trial or they are visited by a painful punishment. Go and see Surah An-Nur, verse number 63. The British wars and conflicts since the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II. Go and see in Kenya, 1952 and 1960. The Mau Mau uprising. The Cyprus Age emergency, 1955 to 1959. The Suez Crisis, Egypt, 1956 to 1957. Border campaign, Ireland, 1956 to 1962. Go and see Upper Jaffa disturbances, Yemen. 1959, Indonesia, Malaysia confrontation, 1963 to 1966. The Aden emergency, Yemen, 1963 to 1967. Iceland, the Third Cod War, 1975 to 1976. Gulf War, Iraq, 1990 to 1991. Bosnian War, 1992 to 1995. Operation Desert Fox, Iraq, 1998. Kosovo War, 1998 to 1999. War in Afghanistan, 2001 to 2021. Iraq War, 2003 to 2009. First Libyan Civil War, 2011. Operation Shader, Iraq, Syria, 2014. Still going to that point, 2022. It was still going on at that time when their so-called queen, we say queen of hell. Now, I ask you the question. You know, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah says, surely Allah does not change what is in a people until they change what is in themselves. So these people went out in Britain, praising who? Queen Elizabeth, and having all these janaza salas for who? For such a woman, which I, all those wars. Mirror, go and see the Mirror newspaper, .co.uk. Title, Muslim communities keep Queen Elizabeth II in their prayers as country unites in grief. They turned their masjid. How many people went to pray? And who led this year? BBI. BBI, not BB Satan Yahu. That's on a different page. On a different page, but in the same book. They're working together. This is the whole thing. The BBSI, the British Board of Scholars and Imams, they have done this year and they were the promoters of this year. British Board of Scholars and Imams. Guess what? They will be there tomorrow at the 31st celebration of UKSA, as well as all your organizations, JUSA and all of them will be there as well, the GISC. And who's your main man there? It is what I told you, Sheikh Abdullah Hassan. We're not done with him. We are not done with him as yet, because there is more evidence to show Jewish news. Let's go to their newspaper. The date was 2016, 7th of March. Jewish primary school hosts imam in groundbreaking. Take note of the word once again, interfaith project. Point number 18 of Trump's 20-point Gaza plan is also your interfaith project. Jewish primary school hosts imam in groundbreaking interfaith project. Imam Abdullah Hassan, he addressed the students of Rosh Pina Primary last week. And this is all according to the article. That means that time, right? Organized by the Joseph Interfaith Foundation, JIF, as part of its Confronting Anti-Semitism and Islamophobia project. So, title, slogans, looks very all well and good. But this Hassan, he sits on the National Council of Imams and Rabbis of the Foundation. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in so many places, you are not allowed to take these people as your friends. You are not allowed to take these people as your friends. And here you are going in their schools, doing all this here. What message are we sending? We're not done. You know, and I'm just going to share this with you before we leave you for the news. Abraham Bam, Mulana Ibrahim Bam is with them. It is Mulana A.K. Ali. It is Riyad Fattar of MJC. So A.K. Ali is part of UKSA and he's the president there. Riyad Fattar, president of where? Of the MJC. Then you look at your other members as well, coming down. But South Africa, these are all the individuals that you need to be highly aware of. We've got the others who are also there. And Sheikh Yusuf Patel of UKSA, also part and parcel. I was supposed to play for you that clip. When we get back, we will do it for you. But, oh Ummah, every single Muslim you know, tell them to be warned about this year. And they must warn their children. They must warn their families. They must warn everybody about this GISC. It has an evil agenda to it. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we said we're going to share it with you, and here it is, the Global Imams Council Retreat, October 2023. Who was part of it? Their first in-meeting. Let's speak about this here quickly, and let's hear who are the main players here.
The vision of the Global Imams Scholars Council is to empower the imams and scholars globally so that they can fulfill their responsibility of becoming the inheritors of the prophets and messengers, so they can serve their respective communities with a unified vision.
So that was Sheikh Abdullah Hassan. We spoke about him, and he was there. We said to you the Jewish news had carried it. He went there to the Rishona school or whatever it was, Rosh Pina school, and there he gave a lecture, and he's part of the imams and rabbis groups. And this year is what the same mindset they want to unleash in South Africa. Next, the next person is Sheikh Abdul Hakim Muhammad. He's a North American Imams Fellow. He is one of the members of the GISC.
I can say this retreat is an opportunity, as a new organization, an opportunity to bring all the councils together, to get a feel for each other, to create a bond amongst each other. And at the same time, I believe it's an opportunity to unify our opinions, our understandings, our efforts, and establish a sound foundation from day one.
The Global Imams and Scholars Council was established for the purpose of bringing imams from countries where Muslims are minorities there. We face the exact same challenges, we share the exact same experiences, and it's important for us.
This is Sheikh Shadi As-Suleiman. He is part of the Australian National Imams Council, ANIC.
to come together and share those experiences with one another and work together. How can we overcome those challenges that we all face? At the same time, we see the importance of imams coming together to establish that bond and brotherhood and bring that hope and optimism to the ummah, that the Muslim scholars and imams are united not only in one country but alhamdulillah globally. And also it's important for us to start thinking about how can we preserve the traditional understanding of Islam. And the Global Imams and Scholars Council is about preserving the traditional understanding of Islam for now and generations to come.
We have come here and we have gathered here for the first in-person meeting of the Global Imams and Scholars Council. This is our first in-person meeting, although we have been meeting and doing online meetings to form this global platform council for the Imams and Scholars.
This is Sheikh Fahimul Anam. So he's the British Board of Scholars and Imams as well, BBSI, British Board of Scholars and Imam.
And it is such a beautiful occasion that we have gathered here first time and we're discussing about the matters of Ummah.
We are here to, for the first time in person, to meet, to strengthen our relationship, to make sure that we are on the same page for whatever we have been talking about in the past couple of years since we started talking about creating the...
This is Sheikh Rafat Muhammad, Canadian Council of Imams. So Sheikh Rafat Muhammad, Canadian Council of Imams.
This platform of GISC, the Global Imams and Scholars Council.
It's an apolitical, meaning non-political organization that brings all different councils, all different ulama organizations together and unites them under one platform where they can all work together to achieve common goals and objectives. And there are many other...
Sheikh Zubair Karim, he is part of the British Board of Scholars and Imams.
Items that the Ummah at this moment in time need, and most of the organizations, they are localized, they have geographical limitations, but this organization, inshallah, will have a more global reach and a global impact, inshallah.
Well, the Global Imam Scholars Council is meant to create a platform of unity amongst the ulama from the various countries. And remember, its formation is based upon organizational participation, unifying the national structures from the various countries.
This year is Sheikh Abdul Khalik Ali. Sheikh Abdul Khalik Ali. And he, you know, recently in August, we shared with you there that he prayed. It was called the G20 South Africa 2025 IF20 G20 Interfaith Forum. And we said to you on Trump's 20-point plan, Gaza plan, it is there on Al Jazeera, number 18, Interfaith Dialogue, it is all there. So we just asked Sheikh Abdul Khalik one question. Let's see, you are the person who is in charge. You are the United Ulama Council of South Africa and you're celebrating your 31st celebration tomorrow. 31st annual meeting is tomorrow over the, and you're going to have GISC. So all of the celebrations that are there, we just ask you one question, that in that G20 Interfaith Forum, Cape Town, it took place between August the 10th and the 14th in this current year, 2025. And you, Mulana Abdul Khalik Ali, you prayed exactly with Rabbi Dr. Aharon Ariel Lavi, the managing director, the Ohr or the Ohr Torah Interfaith Center in the rogue regime, Israel. What were you doing praying with a member, a rabbi in this? Is this your meaning of interfaith? So from the back door of the synagogue, we must enter and we must still claim that we are Muslimin. This year is your ideal interfaith. So that's here, Mulana Abdul Khalik Ali, and a major role play in this whole interfaith promotions and the rest.
to bring our resources, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, together, and how best as a Muslim group of ulama can we address issues that we are confronted with as a Muslim ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The retreat is that since the last few years, the Global Scholars and Imams Council have been meeting virtually. And obviously, with regard to being meeting virtually, there are certain limitations. We can discuss certain things, but vision, mission statements, objectives, future...
This year is Mulana Ibrahim Bam of Jamiatul Ulama South Africa. And you've heard it, that is why you cannot just have virtual meetings. You have to go in person at times. 2023, if you've just joined us, that is when they had this October 2023 retreat. Tomorrow and the 29th October 2025, they are going to have this retreat in Cape Town, and all these main key players will be there. Mulana Ibrahim Bam, remember, he had justified why they had to change their Tashil Durusil Quran, and that is, if you go to the grade 8, class 8 syllabus, lessons of the Quran made easy, they changed, interpolated the interpretation of Suratul Kafirun. We've got it all here on record with us previously. They said the lesson to be learned, one should not compromise one's principle by accepting false and batil values. It later changed thereafter, and they said the surah very beautifully explains that we could engage in interfaith relations in order, what they claim, achieve harmony in community or society. Ibrahim Bam is also this very same person. When Mandela had died, then he was there and he prayed with Warren Goldstein. And Warren Goldstein, he spoke much about the IDF and what good work they are doing, killing our Muslimin, our babies in Gaza and the rest. He praised them to what levels? So is this what interfaith is? Just answer these questions, please. Is this what interfaith is? We're not done yet.
Programs cannot be discussed at length virtually. So therefore, this retreat was to get together to be able to chart a way forward with regard to the visions, the mission, the objectives, the programs with regard to the Global Imams and Scholars Council, which thus far has been very, very productive.
The vision is to be the body or the platform that bring the Imams and Scholars Councils together to share ideas, finding solutions, and sharing resources for the similar challenges Muslim minorities in the West they face day in and day out.
That day is Mulana Oiti Sheikh Abdullah Yusri, Canadian Council of Imams. Canadian Council of Imams, Sheikh Abdullah Yusri.
The vision of the Global Imams Council is to help ulama from throughout the globe fulfill the responsibilities of Warathatul Anbiya, of being the heir.
Warathatul Anbiya. This year is Sheikh Yusuf Patel, Uksa, Sheikh Yusuf Patel. And you just heard Warathatul Anbiya. You've just heard it, Warathatul Anbiya. Which one of our Anbiya alayhi salam told us that we must go and pray with rabbis? We must pray with all of these people together in one place, go to their churches, allow them to come in our masajid, have this open interfaith meetings and the rest. When? Questions. We need answers urgently.
Is an inheritor of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. So it is about empowering.
So we've seen what the BBSI, British Board of Scholars and Imams, they promoted, how they praised Queen Elizabeth, and thereafter we saw the results that played thereafter. What had happened thereafter? You've seen the Leicester, it was in September as well, Leicester riots that took place, and 300 Hindutva members, they walked in Britain, and our Muslims were totally
in that particular position where they had no help whatsoever. Now you've understood that Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. Allah Azza wa Jal does not change a nation until they change themselves. And wa idha arada Allah biqawmin su'a, when Allah Azza wa Jal intends evil for a people, then there is no fala maradda lah, there is no way to turn it back. Wa idha arada Allah biqawmin su'a, when Allah intends evil for a people, fala maradda lah, then there is no way to turn it back. No angels to help you, nothing. وَمَا لَهُم مِّن دُونِهِ مِوَالٍ, and for them there is no helper other than him.
So, our colleague,
when you see this, what does it tell you? You go against Allah Azza wa Jal, he's going to unleash such punishments on our beloved South Africa if you follow any of this here. Queen Elizabeth, they praised her when she died. And there you saw all those Leicester riots. You go see, you do the research, 2020, September. Now, do we really want this? We have to take a firm stance because we are asking for punishment. If we do not reject this meeting and make it viral, make it proper, you make it firm that we don't want to join you. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.